Okay, guys. So we were in the middle of the bizarre Gemara, the book, Anagadata, on Daf Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara goes all the way to Gimel Amud Beis. So this week and next week, we're still going to be on this, because, again, we're mixing here, right? I mentioned this. We're going to be mixing, analyzing specific Agadatot, but I'm trying to pick aspects of the Agadata that will also weigh in and give you a perspective on how to learn Agadata in general. So that's what we're going to do today. So someone want to remind me where we were? Yeah, please. Someone want to remind me where we were in the... feel like this. No, this is my last one. Here, I'll print more for you.
No, wait.
No, you don't have it. It's new. I'll print it from my phone. I'll print it to that printer. Okay, while I'm printing it, remind me... people, remember what the Gemara was about.
Yeah, it was the whole Mashiach.
Yeah, so what happened? We're talking about the Messianic time. What? God holds the Torah to his chest, and what does he do?
Yeah.
And outnumber people.
Yeah.
And he says, all the people need to plead their case for why they should be Zochah.
Good. Each nation in the world comes and pleads their case before God. The Romans come and say, we should go to heaven because we built... We built marketplaces and etc. And Hashem says, oh, you built marketplaces to put prostitutes in it. Big deal. I'm not so impressed. Right? You have money. I don't care. I have money. Right? The Persians, you built bridges. You built roads. Very nice. That's very impressive. You just did it to collect taxes. I'm not very impressed by this. Do you have any Torah? And they say, not really. Fine. I like this new wireless printing. I can do. I can just, you know. There you go.
Is this all for me?
Well, no. One's for you. One's for Tzvi, because I figured someone else would come. So now give one to Tzvi. Okay. First lesson I want you to get from Agadata. If you read this Agadata, what's the feeling that you get? What is this Gemara's perspective on the contributions of the nations of the world to the world? It's pretty negative. Pretty negative. Okay. First lesson about Agadata is to fully understand Agadata, or sometimes to understand Agadata at all, you need to understand other places in Shas where it speaks of the same idea. But sometimes you've got to realize that, let's say, right, Ginsberg got up and gave a shiur on philosophy, right, whatever the topic might be, right, the place of emotions in Judaism, naniach, okay, right? And then Chaim would say, based on Rabbi Ginsburg's set of emotions, obviously Rabbi Ziering thinks there's no place for emotions in Judaism.
I was about to say place of what in Judaism?
Exactly, right? So you would say, well, right, that's not a logical conclusion, because just because one rabbi says something doesn't mean another rabbi agrees. Just like, you know, if Yaakov says something doesn't mean that Zev agrees. Right? Fine. Just because Yaakov agrees doesn't mean that Ephraim agrees. Okay, somebody, who fights? Gersley. Gay Gersley. Fine?
Where's Gersley?
Doesn't matter, but he probably doesn't agree with whatever you're thinking right now. Okay? Whatever it is, you're not agreeing. Fine?
That would be a good...
That's a good assumption. The same thing is true of Chazal. Chazal, just like in Halacha, Chazal didn't agree on everything. Chazal don't necessarily agree on everything in Hashkafic areas either. So, to see whether in this case everyone agrees, you have to see another Gemara which seems very, very similar to the one we just read. And this is a very well-known Gemara in number one.
That's the first rule that I'm not going to know. It's very well-known.
Okay, so that's not true. The second half of the Gemara you definitely know. The second half of the Gemara is that Rav Shimon bar Yochai spends... There you go! Spends X number of years living in a...
Cave.
Very good. Supported miraculously by the carob tree. But why is he in the cave? How does he get to the cave? So source one is the background. Good. So my karule roshem adam rachol makom. It's the middle of a discussion. The Gemara says, "Di yasrei Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Shimon v'yasev Yehuda ben Garib Gabayu." They're sitting there. Yehuda Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda ben Garib. Pasach Rabbi Yehuda v'amar. Yehuda started talking and he said, "Kama noim ma'asem shel umazu." The Romans are awesome. They're so great. Tiknu shvakim. They built markets. Tiknu. What? Beautiful. Beautiful. Pleasant. Tiknu ksharim. They made bridges. Tiknu merchatzaot. They made bathhouses. Who does that sound like, by the way?
Yeah.
In our Gemara?
The Romans.
It sounds like the Romans, the Persians. They all come and say, we're so great. And Rabbi Yehuda gets up and says, yeah, you know, Hanami, they're great. Rabbi Yossi Shasak. Rabbi Yossi said nothing. Nen Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai v'amar. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, Kol ma she'tiknu lo tiknu ela litzarech atzman. Whatever they made for themselves. Tiknu shvakin lahoshev behenzonot. They made markets to put prostitutes in. Merchatzot laden mahen atzman. They made bathhouses to enjoy. Ksharim li talban meches. They made bridges to collect taxes. Halach. Yehuda ben Garim, Vesiper Divrehem, Vinishmu Lamalchus. They were talking, and then the Romans heard about this. It's not clear that Yehuda ben Garim actually told them, but he told over the conversation, and it got to the Romans' ears. Amru, so they said, Yehuda she'ila yit'ale. Yehuda spoke well about us, he'll be rewarded. Yossi shatak yigla litzipori. Rabbi Yossi didn't say anything, so we'll punish him mildly, we'll send him out to Tzipori, into exile. Shimon shegina. But Rishon Bar Yochai, who insulted us, Yareg, will kill him. So he had to run away. He ended up in the cave. That's the background. Okay? What's the problem? This Gemara sounds exactly like what? Rishon Bar Yochai sounds like?
God.
Like, yeah, God. Right? And Rabbi Yehuda sounds like? The Romans and the Persians and all the different nations there. Like, it's literally copied and pasted from one to the other. Okay? So now let me ask you, how do you deal with these two Gemaras? Because everyone noticed this.
So Rabbi Yehuda knew that it was going to get back to the Romans.
Good. One possibility is to say there's no machlokas. The second Gemara, the Gemara in Shabbos, just tells you that it's not a bad idea to be politically
correct.
Correct, but at least smart here. Our Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells the truth. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai wasn't afraid to speak the truth, even if it meant his life was going to be on the line. Rabbi Yossi and Yehuda had a bit of a... were more politically minded, and they said, you know what? That's not the best thing to say. Okay? That is what the Marsha says. Right? The Marsha says like Chaim, he says, L'chaorah, number two, Kama noyim tiknu shvay mechulei. L'chaorah dvarim elohim atzam hitnatzlut chel ha'umot lasid b'yom adin. He said, I don't understand. Right? Rabbi Yehuda is giving the excuses of the nations that they give to God after Me'av Esrim. Well, not after Me'av Esrim. Ham Mashiach. V'divrei rash, him ba'atzam, divrei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? And God, right? You can look back at your Gemara, you can see. God quotes Rishon Bar, right? Quotes Rishon Bar Yochai, so to speak. Or vice versa, whatever. Doesn't matter. So he says, everybody agrees that what they did was for their own benefit. He didn't say, now what's the Marsha's raya that this isn't a contradiction to our Gemara? Because you look back at our Gemara.
They didn't say
it's for Torah. Our Gemara says they did say it's for Torah. Right. The Gemara in Shabbos says, oh, they're great. They did good things. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, they claim that they built marketplaces so the Jews could learn Torah. So Marsha says, right, be very careful. If you want to understand the Agadah, look what's missing. Right? There's one line missing. Namely, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, which is asking the ultimate question, says, did they do it for the right reasons, and therefore they deserving of ultimate reward? Yehuda's just stating a fact. They did practically good things, right? But he's saying that for political motivation, because it's true, right? He's not weighing in on whether God is going to look on this favorably, just saying it's beneficial. Right, and remember the Rashba. The Rashba said, had they done it for the right reasons, it would have been great. Meaning, it's an objectively a good thing. That doesn't mean you get reward for it. And therefore, he says, Rabbi Yehuda just didn't clarify. He said, you know, it's great that we have marketplaces. He didn't say they're going to get reward. He just said it because he was afraid. So the Marsha says, you want to understand the Gemara, Right? How do you understand? You got to put them together and look for the differences. They look identical, but they're not. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says they did these wonderful things for the Torah, for the Jews to learn Torah. And God said, liars. Our Gemara doesn't weigh in on reward and punishment. It just wants to know, right? How do we talk about the nations of the world? Rabbi Yehuda is politically savvy. You know, it's great. We have marketplaces. We have roads. He didn't weigh in on whether God is going to be impressed by it. He said, look, it's good for us. And Rishon Bar Yochai doesn't have that patience, right? He says, no, right? If God doesn't like it, then I have no patience for this either. And he ends up in a cave for 10 years. Okay, fine. The Sfas Emes also tries to get out of it, and he says, right, this is very hard. The Marsha is a nice read. The Sfas Emes is a very hard read. He says, he has a second question. He says, how dare he praise the non-Jews? There's an Isser to praise them. Ksiv, lo sichonem, v'darshin lo titin lahem chen, k'disa b'avad azara. The Gemara and Daf Chaf in Avad Azara says you're not supposed to praise them. Yeshlomer degama hu amar kein b'lashon tmiya. He said it in astonishment. How could these people... Isn't it crazy? These horrible people, you know? These horrible Romans, but they've accomplished some good things, right? It wasn't really praise. It was like... he was like pondering. How is it that these good, you know, these people who aren't such great people, they managed to pull off some good? Right? But both the Marsha and the Sfas Emes, right, what do they think? They think that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and the Gemara in Shabbos fundamentally what? What is their conviction about how Agadata works? It can't argue. Right? And there are Achronim who say this, and the Tziv says this in some places, that it can't be a Machlokas in Agadatas. Why? Why would you say there's allowed to be a machlokas in Gemara, but not in Agada, in Halacha, but not Agada? Yeah, exactly, right? I mean, what that leads him to that is that, well, Halacha is subject to disputes, but the basic philosophy of Judaism, there can't be a machlokas, right? Truth is truth, right? Absolute truth is absolute truth. Ramoshe Feinstein also takes this approach in number four. Now, the Marsha... he picked up on the difference based on one line, which was what tipped off the Marsha?
Oh, he didn't say that they did it.
Good. The Ramosha Feinstein says no. The Gemaras are talking about two very different things, and they teach you an important lesson. He says the difference isn't whether they did it for the Jews or not. The difference is who's talking. What do I mean? Who's the author, so to speak? Who's the speaker in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah?
God.
Who's the speaker in Shabbos?
People.
So, before I read Ramosha, tell me what Ramosha's answer is to Mimashe of the Stira.
It's okay for God to say so.
There's an argument, but one side is right.
Come on. Very pragmatic.
The Gemara is putting words into God's mouth. It's putting these rabbis and putting in...
How
are you arguing with God? I mean, if we're lining up the sheet, it's the same.
He's going to say they're not arguing. So how is he going to get out of it? Come on. Very simple. Come on, people.
Because it's Agata.
I mean, you can say Agata, you'll know what the better brings
for it. Even more Balabatish. Come on. Come on, be a good person. You know the answer to this question. People, think like human beings.
Think like big dollars.
It made them happy.
No emotion.
No, think like a normal human being.
Wait, so why is it...
Ramosha says what? What is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah asking?
There's Chos Torah.
Yeah, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah is saying, objectively, in God's court, when the Romans built their marketplaces, was that for Torah or not? Are they going to get reward in the world to come?
It was not.
But it's still beneficial.
Yeah, but if you're a human being and someone does something good for you, do you ask the question, right? Last time someone did you a favor, do you start saying, well, I'm not going to say thank you to you. First, I need to ask you a question. Are you doing this because you have ulterior motives involved? Right? Are you hoping that next week I will do a favor for you in return? No, that's a jerk thing to do. Right? Someone does you a favor, you say thank you. It doesn't matter, right? Unless you think they're insidious, right? Unless you think they're doing you a favor, which is not a favor, right? They're setting you up, right? If they're doing you a favor and there's an ulterior motive, so God will deal with that, right? But if they did you a favor, the right thing to do is to say thank you and appreciate what they did for you. So Moshe Feinstein says, you know what the difference is? The difference, they look identical, but the Gemara is teaching you something very powerful by saying, in one Gemara, that it's a good thing they built marketplaces, and one that it's not. If you're God, God has the right to say, I'm only going to appreciate what you did, if you did it for the right reasons, because I don't need your marketplace. If you benefit from it, what chutzpah? Right? If you live in a country, right, and they benefit you, right? You live in America, right? You live in wherever, right? You live in Belgium, right? And they provide infrastructure. So the minhag of Jews, the dore doros, has been to daven for the government because we appreciate what they've done for us. Right? We don't care. We don't care if they are doing it so they'll get votes. It doesn't matter. That's not the point. Right? You should show appreciation for the country you live in. You should show appreciation if someone does something for you. God can be medactic on their intentions. You should have a basic level of gratitude.
Don't you say right? Shabbat for the president?
Yes. Yes, we do. Right?
Who does?
What?
Many.
Every shul.
For Trump?
Every shul. Mi Shabbat. Of course we do. There's a... Someone go get me a sitter. Someone go get me any sitter. Please, get me a, get me your art scroll, your standard art scroll sitter. Thank you. Yes.
RCA sitter.
No, every sitter. This is a, the Mishnah says you're supposed to daven b'shalom malchut. It's a minog for hundreds of years. Hundreds of years.
It's not, it's not, sorry, it doesn't count.
So open it up, find it, right? There's one in the Mishnah Berach is for the government.
It's not, yeah, mine's not even enough. Right? It's a different one.
Right, in America they say Linasi Haaretz Ulamishnehu. In Canada they say La Rosh Hamimshala. Right? Villa Malka, right? In England they have this whole thing for the Queen, right? I mean, you find it, I don't know.
I don't know where it is either.
I don't read somewhere in here.
I'll bring you
what?
Should have this one? Before. I would have
fine, I'll find it in this one. It's usually on the Mishnah Berurah for Shabbos. It's right usually after Shabbos Torah reading. Yeah, look. Wait. No. No, this one doesn't have it. Oh, because this is an Israeli sitter, so it has for the Israeli government, because that's the... that you need a non-Israeli one, because the Israeli ones, of course they have it, but they're dominating for the Israeli government. So, thank you. That didn't help me. Right? Oh no, here. In this one, they just say, at this point, in many congregations, a prayer for the welfare of the state is cited by the rabbi, chazan, or gabbai at this point, but this is not the gabbai version, so it doesn't include it. It just tells you to say it there. Right? The point is, right? The RCA, right, the RCA one actually includes it in there and doesn't just tell you to look at the gabbai version. That's not the point. The point is, everybody does this. It's for hundreds of years. This is not like a modernisha thing. This was done in the time, in the Mishnah, it says this. Mamish, the Mishnah is modernish.
What did you say that? We say that about like Kriya Torah?
You know, after, yeah. You know all those Mishnah Berachs you're not paying attention for at the end of Kriya Torah? It's one of those. Okay? So, Sir Moshe says, B'tzarech Lomar, the question was, are you obligated to show gratitude to non-Jews who do something good things for you, but not for the right reasons? Rabbi Yehuda wasn't blind. He knew that they were done for the wrong reasons. It's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. And Shelah said, Lavo, Yashiv Lamakadosh Baruch Hu, Mamish Kedivei Reb Shimon. Lo Shayach Shel Yad Zer Rabbi Yehuda. Obviously, Rabbi Yehuda knew that. Avon Mikom Makom, Sov Rabbi Yehuda, the Chavon, the Hemad Varim Tovim, Gam Li Yisrael, Lom Dei Torah, Yesh Lahakim Bahem Tova. He said, okay, but Rabbi Yehuda Ben Garim felt, yeah, but in the end of the day, we benefit from it. So we better be thankful. We better show gratitude. The Eino Gen Elenu Klal Eichai Sasa Asiyas Anim L'Shmal Shal L'Shmal. I don't care. Between you and God, take it up with God. But I'm thankful. Dizeno Ge Raklin in Scharan Ata Lasit Shatalo Yizeh Rak Beretzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, look, reward in the world to come, that's for God. L'kach Shibach Masim Shal Malchus Romi Shasu Kol Dvar Matovim L'Chalish V'ish Afshar Asu Shalok Havanas He said he just didn't care. Reb Shimon Polig, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai argued the sover the chayman kol mashatiknu haya zel litzorach atzmon lekachiyu lahakar b'hem tova. Reb Shimon was a more of a purist, right? Which is what lands him in a cave for 10 years. He said no. If you don't have the right intentions, I'm not even going to thank you. So look where that end landed him, right? Land him in a cave. And he says, Ramosha says, look, Reb Shimon is a purist. He was willing to say that a Jew, if a Jew did it, I'll say thank you, even if it was the wrong reasons. But for the non-Jews, not so much. Okay. Because he says, by non-Jews, doing something even shalola kavana is fine. But for a non-Jew, it's not a mitzvah, and therefore, I'm not even thankful. Okay. He then notes, in the next part here, he says, however, my son, Uvini harav agon Reb David Shlita, hiksha, vima shebayarti aliba derash, mehad delo tesai mitzri, vishvishlo, hayu achsanya koponim, there's the chumash. He has a rak l'tovasam. There are other rabbi mitzirim liyistro b'yoser. Reb David Feinstein says the Torah seems to paskin like Reb Yehuda, because the Torah says you're supposed to show gratitude to the Egyptians for letting us stay in their lands, even though it went downhill pretty fast. Right? So you see that even people who did it for the wrong reasons, even maybe in bad reasons, you can't be blind to the good that they did. He says, maybe that's not akasha. He said, maybe that was just a reason to lower the punishment that we give them, or maybe that's talking about Gerim, who convert from Mitzrayim. Okay. Whatever it is. But so far, what do you have? Right? So you have the Marsha and the Sfas Emes are convinced that they can't argue at all. Reb Moshe basically also thinks they're not arguing, but he does recognize there's a machlokes between Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon, but on a local level, right? I mean, God, there can't ever be a machlokes with God, right? So, in the Avodah Zarah, I mean, Reb Moshe says, look, Agadatas can be arguing, but no Agadatah can argue with God. So if something is put in the mouth of God, it is true. Right, if you notice, right now, if we go underneath Reb Moshe, what is Reb Moshe telling you methodologically? He's saying, Agadatas can argue. Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon can argue about...
Agadatas is arguing, that's different people.
Meaning he's saying there could be a machlokes in philosophy, but that's not a problem. It's just once an Agadatas has framed something as God saying it, that's unassailable. Right, and therefore he says, objectively speaking, everyone agrees that in Lasid Lavo, they won't get reward. That's God's department. Their argument was, as human beings, do we need to thank people for things they do for us practically? Reb Yehuda said yes, Reb Shimon said no, and the Gemara seems to paskin like Reb Yehuda, because Reb Shimon doesn't turn out so well for him. Right? You want to end up in a cave for 10 years, so fine, be a purist. Right? You want to get along with people, lower your standards. Yeah, Zev.
That sounds like more of a halachic
side. It's quasi-halachic, quasi-hashkafic, yeah. I don't know, right? Whatever you want to call it, it's practical.
Okay,
it's practical. I don't know, halachic, hashkafic. Okay.
That's good. Thank you.
Okay. I gave you, after this, the Daf al Hadaf. It's this random sefer that writes on every, like on most dafim and just collects interesting sources. Okay. I'll say it outside. He first of all notes from the Griz, right, that the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav, remember I mentioned earlier from the Rajba last week, that the Rajba said, what's clear from our Gemara, is that if you have intent for when you do practical things, that they'll be for spiritual things, you get reward. Right? The problem was that they didn't have it in mind. Now the Griz pushes this a little bit farther. And the Griz says, that's why God never said, right? I mean, if you look back at our Gemara, what does God respond when the Romans say we built... Yeah, so what did he call them? But he insults them, but before he says that, but what does he call them? Shotim. Shotim Jabalim, idiots. But he doesn't say, the Griz is very medaic, he doesn't say shagranim, he doesn't say liars. Right? Meaning he says, God doesn't tell them you're lying, he just says, you're an idiot. Why are you an idiot?
Meaning he's not saying that
He's saying you did do good things, you're stupid, because if you had had in mind that it was for the right reason, then you're right, I would have said, you get reward.
I mean, it wouldn't make sense for God to tell them I'm lying, because they did build stuff.
Correct. But so the Griz says, yeah, that's the point. So why does he call them idiots? Because he's saying, look, you did good things. I'm not denying you did good things.
The problem was the intention.
But if you only had the right intent, it would have been great for you. So then the Daf al-Dav asks, and he quotes this Harav Tzvi Kreiser, and he says, okay, but I don't get it. Meaning... But in the end of the day, don't we say that you get reward when you do things, even for the wrong reasons, meaning Reitok Shaloshma Balishma. What?
So the only benefit of that is
well, possibly. So he says two, so he gives two possibilities. He says one, and this is a very close read of that Gemara, and he says one possibility is our Gemara. Is our Gemara asking whether they get reward for building the cities? No. No. Be very careful. What's it asking? What is it? He says, they're saying, not only do we get reward, but it's as if we learned Torah. Right, so first answer is, maybe they get some reward, but, right, they said we did it only so people would learn Torah, and God said, look, maybe what you did is good, and you get some level of reward, but don't pretend. You had no, right, this is not at the level of Limud Torah, because you didn't know what you were doing. I'm not going to deny that you did something right. That's possibility one. Possibility two is he says, maybe, mitoch shalolishma balishma, or mitzvos lo tzrich tavana, and the like, is only for mitzvos. Meaning if you do something which is a mitzvah for the wrong reason, who cares? In the end of the day, it was tzivui Hashem, God said do it. If it's something that's pragmatic, which could be good or could be bad, so then what gives it its value? Kavana. Kavana. Okay. Now, all these answers, what are they really doing? Right, so we have, so for the Marsham methodologically, what does he assume? That there can't be a machlokes at all in Agada, right? In like philosophical answers. Because what did he do? He said, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and the Gemara in Shabbos are agreeing, and Yehuda and Reb Shimon are agreeing. I mean, everyone's agreeing, right? Everyone's agreeing. The only question, everyone agrees they don't get reward. The only question was what? Yeah, it was, you know, how do you, right? Was how political do you get, right? When you talk. But basically, they're not arguing. Reb Moshe is willing to say there's a machlokes in Agada, in philosophical or practical, pragmatic, you know, view of the world, Weltanschauung, right? That's German for world to you. Weltanschauung is German. Okay? Reb Moshe says you're allowed to have a machloket within an Agada, but you can never have a machloket, it seems like, with God. And therefore, God, in Avodah Zarah, said, they don't get reward, so that must be true. The machlokes is, okay, assuming that God says they don't get reward, lasid lavo, does that mean we don't have to thank them? Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you have to show gratitude. Rabbi Shimon is a purist. And the Dav HaAdav just adds a little bit here, and he says, maybe the reason they don't get reward is because either they do get some reward, which would explain Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, they do get some reward. It's just not enough for what's going on in Avodah Zarah. Meaning, in Avodah Zarah, they don't want reward. They want it to count like Talmud Torah. That it's not. Right? Or, because it's a pariv thing, that's specifically why you want intent. Okay. However, not everyone agrees with this. Right? It's possible that all this is not true. Because you could just say that just like there's a machlokes in halacha, there's a machlokes in agada. Correct. Meaning, you could just say it's very nice that in Avodah Zarah the person, the being talking is God, but God isn't actually talking. There was a rabbi who sat down and put words in God's mouth, and you know what? Maybe not everybody agreed. And if you look in 5, I won't read it inside because we're running short on time, but the Pirchei Kahuna, it's on the Achronim Aladaf, he says that's exactly what happened. He said there's a machlokes. And it's even a machlokes that everybody knows. It's a machlokes called Mitzvos Trichos Kavana. There's a machlokes. We know there's a machlokes in the Gemara. There's a dispute in the Gemara whether when you do a mitzvah you need to have intent or not. Right? You can disagree on his analysis, right? But he says there's a machlokes. If you think you need intent, so then you'll think what they did is meaningless. If you think you don't need intent, then it's meaningful. You're right. You don't have to say that this is technically the machlokes, a mitzvah shichas kavana. But what's my point from the Pirchei Kahuna? Then Agadatas can argue. What's he saying? He's saying, look, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah was taking the position of Reb Shimon, that you need proper intent or everything is meaningless. And the Gemara in Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda, takes the position that It's not true. If someone does something good for you, it doesn't matter why they're doing it in heaven. I don't care, right? As long as it's a good thing, they get reward. So you see that by looking under the surface of what these shittas are saying, you see a fundamental, right, different approaches to Agada. The Pirchekun has no problem saying, sure, there's a machlokas in halacha, so there's a machlokas in Agada. Whether or not you're convinced by his analysis, the point is, he says, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah was felt you had to be a purist, and therefore they were anti what the non-Jews had accomplished in the world. Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara in Shabbos says, meh. Rabbi Yehuda says, it's great. Right? And therefore you end up having a machlokas. That's fine. The Marsha said, no, Agada there can't be. And Rav Moshe seems to say that maybe you can have a machlokas and agadic issues, but not when God is the one talking. Right? But those are different methodological assumptions of how different agadot work together. Okay, that was the major point I wanted to make. I want to make two other points quickly. Okay, we got 10 minutes. There's a small Tosfos on the page. I reproduced it here. Tosfos says, when the Romans come to God and say, we built marketplaces, what does God say to them?
Just for prostitutes.
Just for prostitutes. So Tosfos says, isn't that a bit much? Right? Tosfos says, isn't that a bit much? And number six, he said, couldn't God have just said, look, couldn't you have just said that you built marketplaces for business and not for the Jews so they could learn Torah? Meaning, the Romans came to God and said, we built marketplaces so the Jews could learn Torah. God could have just said, no, you didn't. You did it to make money. Why does God go out of his way and say, no, you did it to set up brothels?
Yeah,
right, well, and then it was different with Rome and Persia, but Tosa just asked, so why does he do it? So Tosa says, why? And Meganos and Bedavar Ganai, Kol Mashiachal, Klomar, Filitzar, Zonas, Hizim, Shvakim, he said, because God wanted to insult them, he wanted to, as negative as possible, he wanted to say it. Right? He said, yes, that's the point. It's egregious, yeah. Right? It's, why? Good. This is point two I want to teach you about Agadata. Why? What's the benefit? Why would you do that?
The lesson behind it.
Good. What's the lesson?
That you have to either full commitment or not, though.
You
can't credit your...
No, it has to do with the fact that if you want to take credit for something, it's like the person who comes to an accidental invention. Oh, yeah, this was my intention the whole time. It's saying don't... If your intention was neutral, the Romans had neutral intention, they want to say, oh, really, we built the markets for this. You just got to say, no.
The other. I think it's more than that. I think it's even more than that. Let me suggest something else, okay? So let me teach you something about Agadata in general. It's important from Maariv Tzachias. Maariv Tzachias has the following theory. He says sometimes you go through the Gemara, and the Gemara will take someone who's a known Rasha for whatever reason, and what will the Agadata do?
Make them worse.
You knew he was mean. Now I'm going to tell you that not only was he mean, but, right, Esav, the day he comes to sell his Bechorah, he murdered, committed idolatry, slept with a betrothed woman, right? 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 Everything, right? He did every sin, every cardinal sin you can think of, he did it that day. Right? And you read that and you're like, what are you, do you really think that happened? Right? So Maariv Tzachias says, No. They don't really think it happened. But, you know why they say it?
Show how bad of a...
For educational reasons. And I'll look, in number 7, if you look at number 7, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says as follows. With everyone, you don't have to go on and darshan all the bad things they did, except for Bilam. Any possible drasha you can make that makes him sound worse, do it. Do it. Just say it. Why? Because the Maariv Tzachias says as follows. And again, this is point 2. I want you to know about all of Agada. Because he says like this. And I'll summarize it, but you can read it inside. He says, because why is Agadata written? To teach you lessons. When you teach lessons, what do? What?
What's the word?
You exaggerate. You exaggerate. Right? Or let me put it a little bit differently. This might help you understand. Okay, this is something I heard once. B'shem Mori V'Rabbi, Rav Moshe Lichtenstein. Mori V'Rabbi, Mori V'Rabbi, my master and teacher, right? He says you open Mishlei, and Mishlei, the whole book, tells you, my son, if you see an evil person, avoid going with the evil person because bad things are going to happen to him. And if you see a good person, go with the good person because good things will happen to them. You open Kohelet, and what does the book say? Bad things happen to good people, good things happen to bad people, the whole world is chaos. What's the difference? Why? What's the difference? What? Meaning? So you could give local explanations and say, oh, it's not really true. Like, Moshe said in Pshat, the answer is very simple. Yeah, the same guy wrote both of them. Great. Moshe said the simple answer is very simple. When I heard this insight, it totally changed my view on Mishlei, right? But it's 100% MS. Who's the audience in Mishlei? Kids. My child, Bini, listen. And who's the audience in Goelet? Adults. Said, when you teach kids, what does everybody teach a little kid? Don't do bad things, because bad things happen to bad people. Now, if you ask the parent, do they know that's always not always true? Yeah, of course they know that's not always true. But why do we teach it to kids that way? Because we're trying to get them to do good things. Now, are we lying? We're not lying. Deep down, we really do believe. Right? We all watch movies, and when good things happen to good people at the end, and it all works out, we have this feeling, oh, that's how the world is supposed to work. Right? Like deep down. Correct. Correct. But, and deep down, we sort of believe. What's the point? Ramosha said, Mishlei is talking to little kids. Bini, don't do bad things, because bad things happen to bad people. Good things happen to good people. When kids are little, when you're trying to teach a basic fundamental truth, that it's good to do good things and bad to do bad things, don't overcomplicate it. Right? Don't be Migdal guys, right? Don't try to be all philosophical when you're talking to your 5-year-old kids. It's not going to work. They're not capable of that type of learning. They're just not. Right? You tell them, right? Don't do that. You're going to get hurt. Right? It's not always true, right? If they climb up towards the window, they're not always going to fall out. Right? You do it to teach them. Correct. Correct. So Rav Moshe said, Mishlei is written as a didactic book. It's talking to children. It's saying, when you're talking to children, tell them the way this world should work. Right? Good things happen to good people. Bad things happen to bad people. Sure, the truth is more complicated. But when you're trying to impart truth, right, at some level, there's truth in it. Right? I mean, we believe that it's better to be good than bad. So you oversimplify things. So Maariv Chaya says, that's Agadah. When you have an evil person, the Gemara exaggerates their evil. Why? Because the Gemara is trying to make an educational point, which is, when you're bad, it only gets worse. Right? You think it starts small, but it's inevitable. Once you're bad, who knows where this is going to get to? They don't mean it. It's not a lie. It's educational. He's saying the Agadah isn't literal. It's not literal. It's telling you, if someone's there that you know is evil, so say everything bad about him. Because at some level, we really do believe that once you're on the wrong path, it could lead to everything in the world. It's not saying that it literally happened. It's not saying Esav murdered and committed adultery and Avodah Zarah all on the same day. It's saying he's a bad guy. And once you're on the bad... 1 second. Once you're on the bad path, it's going the wrong way. So Maariv Chaya said that's legitimate. And he says that's why sometimes the Gemara does the opposite. It defends Tzadikim and says, oh, David never sinned. Right? Why? Because it's making a point. If you're good, everything's good. Does it mean it? Not necessarily. But it's teaching you something educationally, that good people do good things and bad people do bad things. And once you're on the wrong path, it's going to go badly. And once you're on the good path, it'll lead you to good things. Sure, the world is more complicated, but that's not always the point. And then he just adds, he says sometimes that's why the Gemara will equate bad people. Say, Lavan is, you know, Bilam. Right? Because it'll basically say, look, all bad people are the same. Right? Like, and at some level, educationally, there's something to that. Right? All bad people are the same. All good people are the same. Right? Like, everybody Right, it's all, like, there are certain fundamental truths that run through the world. So I think that maybe what Tosis is getting at, that Rome was looked at as like the paradigmatic evil empire because it destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. So what did the Gemara say? If they're bad, they're the ultimate bad, right? They are out there to do znos, they're building brothels, right? Because if you're bad, you're bad. If you're good, you're good. I don't think the Gemara means it literally, but I think what the Marzchias teaches you about Agadah, and I gave it to you here, number 8 from the Mevola Talmud, is that Agadah is meant to educate. So don't be surprised when it blows things out of proportions. That's the whole point. It's trying to make a point, right? It's very hard to get someone to really take a point if you say, look, bad people, they have a lot of good in them, but sometimes they have a little bit of bad, and you know, it could be dangerous, it could lead. It's true, and there's a place for nuance. But when you want to give a fiery muster shmooze and you want to inspire people, right? The best way of doing it is making the world black and white. Sometimes there is a place to pretend the world is black and white, even though everybody knows you're not telling the truth. This is not a lie, right? It's an educational device. Yes, sure.
So when you're raising a kid, right, there's a certain point where you don't have to be like, oh, if you open the window, you're going to fall out, right? Because they know.
Correct.
So at what point do you stop teaching about God, though? Or do you stop?
So no, because what's the point? If you read Mishlei now, right, you'll still get something out of it. Even though it's oversimplified, because at some point, right, it's true that the world is more complicated. That doesn't mean that we don't sometimes go back to those basics, even if they're not really true.
If I tell you he said not jump out the window, it's
like, so leave that aside. But if I tell you, right, come on, you know, it never works out for sinners, right? You and I both know sometimes it does work out, right, for criminals. But I still tell you, why do we still say crime doesn't pay? Why is it that adults who know that crime sometimes does pay, why do we say crime doesn't pay?
Why doesn't it pay?
Because no, because at some level we really believe that it shouldn't pay. Meaning at some point, the point is that sometimes we have to speak in universals to teach ourselves truth, to remind ourselves, to reinforce fundamental values. That it's not that we're blind to complexity, it's that there is a certain level of truth in simplicity. Right? That's really what the Marzchias is saying. There's a certain level of truth that bad people are bad and things won't work out to them. It's not always true, but if you tell yourself that enough times and you convince yourself that you shouldn't do bad things because it's not worth it, you might not do bad things, and that's a good thing.
Okay?
Okay?
Are there like a gadatah
of like adults? Well, so the thing with a gadatah, like anything else, is that you can understand it multiple levels, right? Meaning, you start off by saying it very boldly, right? And then you complicate it. Okay, the last point I'll have to save till next week, but those are, I think, well, let me just summarize that, right? So the 2 points we saw in Agadah Torah. One is how to deal with multiple Agadah Torah, either to recognize the possibility of machlokes, or to say there can't be machlokes, and then try to figure out how to deal with it. The second thing is this tendency sometimes in Agadah Torah to oversimplify and over-exaggerate, which again, you have to remember, if Agadah Torah is there to teach lessons, it makes sense that it's going to emphasize certain things that are important for you to understand. The last point I'll mention briefly next week, and then we'll go into the last point. Okay?